Hello everyone and welcome to our latest terrible idea. I'm not Leanne McCooey and she's definitely not Darren Matthews. Welcome to the first ever Panic Station podcast.
I love how you're welcoming me onto my own podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
It's my podcast.
It's my brand.
It's your brand.
Don't ever forget it.
Don't ever forget it.
Yeah.
That was one of the things we were going to discuss today, but that's okay. Forget it or that's your brand.
That's it, done. Discussion okay. Over.
No problem. She's nothing without me. Welcome to the show, everyone. How's it going?
Oh, we're just two cheeks of the same big ginger arse, really, aren't we? Like,
we're awful humans. It's probably why we get on so well. We're both bastards.
But you're not.
I know, I'm trying, though. I'm learning from you.
You're not. You're the least bastardy bastard that ever stood.
Okay.
It irks me.
It irks you? That's what I'm here for, to fucking annoy you.
You need to tap into your inner cunt.
You're the only person that gets really...
How long has it been since we started and I've dropped
I'm going to have to bleep that as well, because that's coming off any platform you put it on. You can't just be dropping C-bombs. You can say a Catholic, you can say a charity. All the C-words, just not that one. I've actually only noticed this from listening to the podcast. People are bleeping that anyway. But I digress.
I'm grand. What's the crack? What's happening?
Not much. We are sort of recording this today as one of our friends has showed up with thousands of pounds of equipment and he's doing it for a cup of tea, which is mental, is just the depth of artists kicking around Uri.
It is. The town would be nothing only for us.
Exactly. We're pulling in favours left, right and centre here. We are, at time of recording, we're getting ready to do the second town hall.
The second town hall.
Which is terrifying.
It is terrifying, but I don't know. I'm letting the current take me on this one.
So we're doing the second town hall. The one I wanted to start with was, I think for the first episode, I think we should probably explain who we are and what the hell we're doing.
Right, okay.
So the Panic Station podcast / the Panic Station Comedy Club is an extension of the Panic Station, which exists apart from in our hearts.
Apart from in my heart. do you know what? The Panic Station was a risky joke at the time. Because it was born of COVID. And because obviously everybody was like, do you know whenever people thought it was genuinely like an apocalyptic event?
The end of days.
And everybody like was questioning everything.
Spanish flu too.
Pretty much. And I was like, oh, right. And everything was closing down and nobody knew what was going on. I thought, I've got a window here. I've got a large glory hole in the side of my building. And I'm just going to throw it open to the world. And I thought, I don't even know. I was like, you know, because everybody was panicking. There was a lot of panic. Have you ever seen the Nolans covering that Smith song?
Can we make a point that you serve coffee? Because just after you're talking about like your glory hole, your window that you've opened to the world, it was a coffee shop.
It was a coffee shop.
Because we're assuming that everybody knows us here. This is the point of this.
Right, okay. So I had a cafe in Uri. Cafe /
good start.
Bistro /...
You
know whenever people were like, oh, a tea room. Oh my God, a tea room. It's so cute and so quirky. It was around that time, right? I'm not a cute or quirky person.
By tea room, do you mean Victorian England?
Aye.
Okay. And we wanted one of those in Europe.
Yeah. No, but everybody was doing that. Everybody's like, oh my God, look at that fucking cake stand. Put a French fancy in that, charge £15 for it. I wanted to be that person, but I was not that person.
That's why you've got no money. You didn't charge £15 for fucking anything.
I really didn't. Like, I didn't even charge £15 for the comedy club until HMRC came knocking. Anyway, so we did that. We limped along. It was fine. Then the end of days came and I had an epiphany. I thought, I'm gonna open this wee, you know, where people don't actually have to come into the building. They just get their coffee outside in the car park. And there's loads of social distancing. This is great. And I call it the Panic Station. And I was like, somebody is absolutely going to be all like, that's not funny. There's people dying in Italy. You know, at that stage.
At the time.
Well, at that stage, it was just Italy. It hadn't sort of made its way over fully. I thought, somebody's gonna think this is incredibly poor taste. Oh, here we go again. Leanne McCooey has been offensive again. But they actually didn't. And then people started like calling it that of their own volition. And I was like, this is weird. And they're like, oh, Panic Station. Oh, some panic about it at the minute, isn't there? And I'm like, yes, there is.
Yeah, there actually
statistics
is.
To reflect it.
Yeah, don't touch me. Card only. Fuck off.
Yeah. I can't hear you through this perspex. Speak up. And then Yeah, and then I tied it in with my bizarre and enduring love for the London Underground.
Right.
More so the design aspects of London Underground.
I don't know why, look, there's a map of it up there, but that's not there in the shot, map, so that's pointless. There's a map pointless. Of
it up there, the original Beck map, I think it is. Uh-huh. Anyway, that's pointless.
Okay, and at what point did the panic station then become the actual description of your mental state? Because that, well, then, that then the Comedy Club rebranded, because the Comedy Club existed before the pandemic.
Yeah, it was and the biggest wee comedy club in the north.
Yes. Truly a mouthful.
But it's good to keep the gays on side. Like,
that's true as well.
Couldn't call it Northern Ireland.
Not in Uri.
Well, it could. But I just thought I'll just avoid it. That would probably be more offensive than making a joke about COVID.
Or as we call it here in Uri, COVID.
The COVID. Yeah. Or the COVID.
COVID?
COVID, yeah. I heard that'll be good.
All right. Sure, you fix the thing you fucking used to treat it. But so we had that idea, and then the progression of that madness was, we had some of the biggest names in comedy in the country in a venue that held 50 people.
Yes, that's true.
Which was insane, because everyone was doing like the SSE and the Opera House, and then really loved coming down the Newry to do the fucking cafe.
But I mean, it was such a warm gig, sometimes literally. But it was a very warm gig, and it's only now that I'm actually like knocking about other places. I'm like, I kind of understand now why, you know, the gays were like, fuck, that's a great wee gig.
Yes.
Because there was always 50 people, generally. Like, I think there was maybe two or three, you know, nights out of Christ knows how many that didn't sell out. And, like, when I say it didn't sell out, like, what? You were 10 or off people. Or something like that. Yeah, you know, max. And, yeah, now I'm like, all right, I get it now. I get it now.
We did have this really fun thing as well, where every time we'd have somebody down, and then you would put up, say, something on Instagram the next day saying, who do you want to see at the panic station? Someone would always ask for the person who was on the night before.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of that Paddy O'Donnell boy?
Like, Paddy's a close personal friend, and he was here yesterday, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we had as I explained to you, I was like, there's like 40,000 people in Newry. We don't need 40,000 people, we just need 50 people that are absolutely sound.
There's more than 40,000 people in Newry.
That's probably just like the town itself, but we were getting people from all over the places, so
yeah,
it was all right.
Fair do. Yeah, but I mean, like, invariably it worked well, like, it worked so well.
It worked well to a point where we were able to do two shows a night for some people, which was cool.
That was very cool.
Well, it was cool when it worked. It was fucking highly stressful to try and get the early show out and get the flip going, but
yeah,
once it worked.
Especially whenever I was half road through a bottle of Grey Goose.
Yes.
Yeah. No, do you know what? I can turn it on when I need to.
The alcoholism, agreed.
Yes, I was going to say the professionalism, but God, good times. Good times.
Very, very good. I think it came from the point as well where as the world reopened, once we had gone from Biggest Week Comedy Club into the initial idea of then it changed into the panic station.
Well, the Brandon was there because I was like, right, let's, if I'm going to call it the panic station, I might as well call it the panic station. And then we got, see, I should have my merch on me and I don't have it.
Next week.
London Underground, well, you'll see it in the stuff anyway. That London Underground, which is also trademarked, let's say nothing. And said panic station.
You just
that
fucking
was cool.
Did.
And shut up. And it had like bobble hats and hand sanitizer bottles and mugs and stuff like that. And people really loved it. I was like, well, why not just call it the Panic Station Comedy Club? So it started to sort of bleed into everything else. And now it's sort of become a wee umbrella catch-all sort of.
It's got a fucking podcast now.
Well,
we'll watch it back. It might be a podcast. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. So
this idea, and then you ended up doing more, kind of getting into stand-up whenever it's like, look, there's nights I can't be here. Can you host the show?
Yeah, that was a...
That's a progression as well.
That was a progression.
Of you just getting up and going, right.
Born of necessity. But then, like, as a good friend of mine told me one time when we were talking about, you know, like, stand-up comedy and all, and she was like, you know, like, when you think about it, like, you'd be really good at stand-up comedy because, like, you've got a lot going on. Like, you know...
Like, is this a friend?
Your mommy and daddy are separated and, you know, you're gay. And, you know, like, you've had struggles with your weight and stuff. And I'm like, can you please stop this now?
So look, just make a list, leave it there and fuck off, okay?
Yeah, and I'll just read it out, you know, like a manifesto at the start before I go into full-scale active shooter on the stage.
Well, that, I mean, I have terrible news. That's majority stand-up, so you're perfect for the job. You've got the job, kid.
I'm realising this now.
Yes.
But, yeah, so that was, yeah, so it was probably good that it worked in that way and not, I don't know.
And have you been enjoying me encouraging you / bullying you to go do more?
Enjoyment is subjective. But I can't say it hasn't. You haven't done me a disservice in that respect.
Have you enjoyed the love of strangers, the replacement that, you know, I didn't ever got as a middle child, you know, that sort of the attention I've always craved. Are you getting that?
No.
You're probably too much fucking attention. You're too an only child.
I'm an only child.
Oh, nightmare.
Yeah.
The pressure.
Yeah. If I could, I would commission someone to build me an under the stairs a la Harry Potter, and I would just wear it. And just like when I go into places, just like tick, 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 and just sit down, so it just looks like there's just a door there, and then I, you know, can hide in it. I do like people. I just don't like them talking to me. I'm incredibly shy.
How do you fucking you putting up with me asking you questions then? Are you just used to me?
Have you ever heard of the term white noise?
White noise, I have. It's the playlist that people use to get their kids to sleep, isn't it? Yeah. So, McCoy has this real problem of just being nice to me. You really struggle with this, don't you?
I suppose it's the equivalent of, you know, the brutish, like Nelson.
You respect me, so you're not going to go easy on me.
I'm like Nelson in The Simpsons when he fancies Lisa, you know.
What a fucking comparison.
I like you.
Jesus.
I know. But it's fine. Don't make it gay.
Well, that's the whole point as well, because you, as the gay contingent of the podcast, every time you see me, straight in with a homosexual slur.
But that's because it's fun.
She's taking it back. I'm taking it back.
Yeah, I'm taking it back. It is fun.
Okay.
It is fun.
Well, at least you're having fun. That's all right.
I am the worst.
I'm just like, just say hello once.
Fruit. There is nothing better than a well-timed fruit comment.
Is this just like you in school? One of the things I will say as well, I was working last week, and I always thought maybe that was a generational thing of people being so afraid of homosexuality. It's just absolutely the same now. I was, for work, I had to drive a bunch of fucking teenagers to like football training.
Oh.
Absolutely. Just, that's gay. Everything's gay.
Yeah.
And I was like, not actually a lot of stuff is gay. And people who are, that's fine. But they were so fucking afraid and, that's gay. It was amazing. And I was like, nothing has changed in the 25 years since I've been a teenager.
But it's fantastic though.
You enjoy that?
I do. I really do. But it depends on your audience, I suppose. But I mean, like, if you see, like, I know, I have a friend who works in a gentleman's haberdashery.
I was going to say a club, but I was like, you know, a stripper?
No. like a gentleman's clothing store.
Fair enough.
And he came in, he had shown me these shoes that he was getting, and I was like, all right, very good. He'd show me them online or whatever. And he'd come in wearing them, right? Like, and he came in like the Scarlet Pimpernel. He was like, look at my shoes.
Swung through a window.
And I looked at them, and they were like the pointiest things I've ever seen. And I was like, you're gay.
That was as much as you got?
Yeah. But he just sort of looked at me, and I was like, that's it. There's nothing else to say. They're gay, and so are you.
Were they a fortune?
Doesn't matter, they're gay.
No, it does, because he was obviously like, I spent good dough on these, what do you think? And he's like, this is going to be the thing that impresses McCooey. And you're like, actually, nothing impresses me, I'm sorry.
Nothing about those fucking hellscapes on your feet.
Yeah, it's like when people are like, you'll not believe this. You're like, I always believe it. I fully believe everything you're going
to
say.
Yeah, but then you're talking to somebody who, as you said before, is dressed like a football hooligan.
That is how I described you.
Thank you. I've appreciated that since you said it.
McCooey's dressed like somebody who's waiting for you to get off the train at the away match.
Mm. Absolutely. Thanks for that.
Scarf around the face, Adidas beanie, you're getting your fuck kicked in. McCooey's waiting.
I can't really wear a beanie.
Why not?
Because I look like I have additional leads whenever I wear hats.
Any hat at all?
Yeah, whenever I was in university for 6 weeks, it used to be like kicking around Belfast. The girls, you know, if we were ever out shopping, we'd be like, come on, we're going to TK Maxx and get McCooey to try on the hats. And I just try on a variety of hats, and it just all be like,
young people, this was entertainment before people had good signal on their phone for internet.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't have TikTok, we just had TK Maxx. and me looking like my ma was getting money from me, which she absolutely wasn't.
Not if you're not in it. Oh, sensational. I'm really glad to be here for your childhood trauma.
No problem.
But what is our next fucking, what is our next daft idea? Are we getting a billboard? Can we talk about that on here?
Yeah, yeah. There's a billboard in the offing.
In the, okay.
Yeah, so obviously, I don't know, do Neary Bid want to be attached to this? But they are now.
Yeah, we've named them. I'll bleep that out too, don't worry.
Neary Bid have been incredibly helpful, incredibly proactive, and just a general all-around bunch of good guys in helping us do things. If there's obstacles in terms of, you know, getting stuff together, make a phone call, right, we can help with that, we've got somebody who can put that in place for you, blah, 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 blah. And one of those things is the fucking billboard.
Okay.
So I was like, he's like, we've got billboard space around the town. And I was like, right, do you want a billboard? And I was like,
so our next project is a Cash for Gold shop.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if my narcissism, you know, reaches such depths.
If you can handle a billboard.
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds bad.
You can't turns handle out, the advertising.
Turns out my narcissism does. And, well, there's a photograph of you on it too, mate. You
I know.
Absolutely look like you're my carer. And it's like,
well, who designed it?
A friend.
Oh, that's okay. Well, that's not your fault then that I look like
no, him. No, I sent him those shots from the sunflower,
mm-hmm.
which are class. But he elected not to use them. And he's got one of you going like this.
Brilliant.
Behind me, right? And I'm like this. It's so bad. Like.
So it looks like I'm trying to get you into a fun fair or something.
It's like... Yeah.
Come on, let her in. Let her in.
Yeah, yeah.
We've
been knocked back from a bar, and I'm like,
yeah.
They're like, she's fucking steaming. No, I'm not. And you're like,
what am I supposed to do?
Put a hat on her, and she'll be fine.
Her man's getting money for her.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So, let me ask the thing. I should just carry a hat with me at all times, and then if I need to elicit sympathy, I can just be like,
okay. Well, we had that, and then all of that led up to the idea where you just came to me and went, why don't we do the town hall?
Yeah.
And I shit myself.
You did, but and that was that Darren Matthews 100% thought, and I could see it in his eyes, right? I could see that this here was moving. It was like, oh, yeah, it's this, yeah, 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 yeah.
You could see the realism in my fucking...
In here, he was like, this fat fucker's lost the plot. I could see it in you, but I could see it in you. You're middle class... Fear just consumed you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the first time in my life I've ever been called middle class. The man helping us make this podcast is from round the road from me, and he knows I'm not one bit fucking middle class. The pub at the bottom of my street was called The Pit. Go fuck yourself. Truly a hole in the ground. But so we did the first town hall, and then...
And he didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. I knew I was... consumed with the positivity, 100%. It was some kind of like, I was having some kind of mental breakdown.
I thought that was the vodka.
What?
I thought that was the vodka.
No, that was around the time where the shop was actually closing. My life was just crumbling down around me, and I was like, I have no control over any of this situation. Do you know what I'm going to do? Let's book the town hall. I could feel it. There was a sense within me. Don't know what it was.
So basically, ladies and gentlemen, what McCoy's saying here is I booked your manic episode.
Yes. Yeah.
We got some of the best comedians who have all done the panic station, and thank God for them. They're just like, that sounds great. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah, but I knew, the fucking belief that I had, and every so often he was like, right, well, so the tickets are going to go out and on sale. And I was like, yeah, they are. The serenity that just surrounded me, the aura. I was like, oh, I could have walked on the canal, like, no problem.
You probably
could walk on the canal anyway. But I was like, this is fine. Everything's fine. It's going to sell out. Book them and they will come.
Yeah. The serenity, as in more so, I was thinking of like the serenity prayer that alcoholics fucking. I was like, God, grant me the serenity.
Yeah. Accept the things you cannot change. And in that instance, you could not change the fact that it was going to be a sellout and it was going to be a success. I knew it. I felt it.
And the first one went, and it was class. And then when we booked the second one, we totally fucking flipped.
Yeah, I was like,
we absolutely changed.
I did not think I owe you a tenner.
Well, I'm getting that tomorrow. It's okay. We're gonna do that live on stage.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'll, you have a tenor.
How long do I revolute you in front of this 400-seater crowd?
Brilliant.
No, I didn't think it was going to sell out at all.
And then the idea was, not only was it going to sell out, I think the bet was under an hour. The first one was 90 minutes?
90 minutes was the first one, yeah.
We were going to record like a press piece to advertise the show. And I think you hadn't even got the posters delivered. And it fucking sold out.
No, I had engaged with a, with a graphic designer. I had posters done. I had had artwork done for a banner. I was going to cable tie a banner to fucking myself.
Your head.
Yeah, yeah, my head. Just stand on the Camler Road. And all that. And for naught, because we made our way back over from doing our press piece, and the tickets had just evaporated.
Yes. So the second one sold out, and it is a wee bit different because it's been part of, it will be, by the time you guys see it, yes, it will have been part of the Newry Arts Festival. So
exactly.
This is all part of the Make Newry Great Again mission, is it?
Yeah.
We've got a lot of buzzwords, a lot of hashtags kicking around.
Pure Newry, I think, is a little less, it doesn't have the same right-wing connotations as Make Something Great Again.
That's true as well.
Which is fun to ape, but I'm sort of like, do you want a load of people running around Newry in red hats? Maybe, I don't know, maybe standing outside an Eastern European grocery, you know?
Red hats, standing outside giving off. That's down, yeah, fans.
And like, no, I meant let's just have a good night out, not like chase immigrants away. You know, there's always going to be somebody that takes it too far.
Okay, well, hopefully it'll be us, because then at least it'll be a show we're running and have a bit of control over. So that's
true. But I think the Pure Newry hashtag, I'm trying to make that a thing.
Okay.
Finally, 12 years after hashtags emerge, I'm trying to make one a thing.
I was going to ask a question. Are hashtags still a thing? Are they still as usable and viable as they are? It's still your trending on Twitter, all that sort of crap?
I don't know. Surely you mean trending on X?
Sorry, Elon. Apologies.
I refuse to call it that. Like
X.
The fact that I get emails that says, X, formerly Twitter. It says that in brackets in the emails. You're missing out on notifications.
In case you won't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's fucking great.
So I know
Snickers, formerly known as Marathon.
I only ask that question because basically it's like when people are sort of figuring it, because there's two of us when we do the shows, the breakdown of the demographics of booking, marketing, fucking co-hosting acts. How we actually work the shows.
Yeah. Well, you're essentially the brains of the operation. You're the you are the operations manager. And I am PR, marketing, and fingering.
We have made comedy sound so boring there. We're all like, it's an art form. Have you got them forms done, son? They're like, oh, brilliant.
No, that is you. You are the brains of the operation. I am literally the fat talisman.
If you've ever seen Wayne's World 2, when you talked about, like, if you book it, they will come. I'm Wayne, and you're the guy who shows them how to fire the machine guns.
Yeah. who was that?
Nah, these babies tend to... He was Ozzy Osbourne's former...
Was it Dale?
Can't remember. It's fucking one of the best characters in history, though.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the idea, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Ozzy wasn't going on stage that night.
So that's the idea. Okay. So the thing with that is, I think the next town hall, which will have been done, I'm... In the true name of the panic station, I'll be doing the door while you're having your panic attack. So, because you're hosting the show.
I am hosting the whole show, and I'll be honest with you.
Did you like it? Did you prefer it last time where you got a wee break, where I came out and did the next bit?
I'll be honest with you, I can't remember.
Right. I remember it was a great show for those of you who were at it. It was definitely something different for what we're doing. Like,
yeah,
so.
No, it was great. It was great. No, of course I remember. I was very, very nervous.
There's videos of you dancing at the end, so it was probably best you don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, that was bad. There is nothing more ridiculous than a fat person dancing. I don't care what anybody says. There is no move that I could pull off where I do not look like Fat Monica from Friends. Wouldn't matter. Even I could execute a fucking full-on backflip and spin around on my back like the two boys I'd take that years ago. Wouldn't matter.
Can we get you to try that by the end of it?
No, the NHS has suffered enough.
Fuck's sake. All right, cool.
And there's nowhere for the air ambulance to land at the town hall.
Well, one of the things... in the river. Oh, fuck. Get an ambulance for that ambulance.
Yeah.
So we have that. This is the whole, this is so weird. We're talking about something that's going to have happened by the time people see it. This is quite spooky.
It is.
Hopefully there's no
imagine there was an actual apocalypse now.
Hopefully there's
somebody
no, like,
finds this. Like, Wally finds this in fucking 50 years.
Very prophetic.
What's it in? It's like, what the fuck?
Sticks it in his chest and watches. Yeah. What are these two on about?
Yeah. And then finds a plant and goes, fuck that. We're getting them back.
I think this is part of the whole thing. So my initial idea of stuff I've been doing for years, when you were talking about like making Yuri great again, mine when I was growing up was just to make it a wee bit more fucking exciting.
You leaned too hard into your positive smiley thing, right? That's what happened there.
Right.
You were this little ball of energy. And you were like, let's fucking have a real good time. Let's, you know, I like Bleak 182 and I can fucking...
Why is your impression of me Pinocchio?
I don't know.
I'm a real boy.
I'm a real boy and I've got some good ideas.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it up from the INF and Warren Point and I'm going to fuck up Yuri. You were too happy. You were too positive. Nobody cared at that stage. It was 2005, 2006. Everybody had fucking fake money. People were buying houses.
With fake money.
Yeah, they were doing gear for the first time ever.
Working in Dublin 8 days a week. Yeah.
They were having such a good time. I think ecstasy was probably still a thing.
People in Uri were drinking wine.
Indeed they were.
Not just red, white and rosé. I mean, like, they knew, like, people knew the word, like, Shiraz.
Yes, Shiraz was a big thing in 2004.
Somebody said Merlot to me once in 2008. I was like, Merlot to yourself?
Yeah.
Very confusing.
And then, like, everybody just fucking... You know, like, there were people going out and, like leaving work on a Friday evening at 5:30 and going straight out and buying a new outfit. I saw that happening in the bank. Like, women coming in from Buttercrane with bags of clothes.
And the
getting changed in the bog, going straight out on the lash... Just having a fucking absolutely real good time.
Weren't seen by their families till the following Tuesday.
And then you came along and you were all like, let's do fun things. And they're all like, back up. Let's not. Let's just drink cava at the bar.
But my fun things were fun. They went well.
With my huge credit line that doesn't exist. It's all fictional.
Yeah. Fucking, it's not real ever.
Yeah.
Fucking numbers on a screen. Let's fucking
exactly. Going to... Like, I remember... Do you remember there used to be a cash machine in the bank? There used to be an ATM.
In the actual bank.
I remember whenever you walked in through... So the bank, obviously, for people for the uninitiated...
Yeah, most banks have an ATM. It's a different thing.
The bank was and is a bar, nightclub, complex, restaurant, whatever. And I used to work in it. And there was an ATM in the inside of it, and whenever ATMs in buildings weren't really a thing, so this was like it blew everybody's mind. Oh, this cash machine in the bank, oh my god.
And also before people were taking them out of walls with JCBs.
Absolutely.
Very important disclaimer.
And then
this was a while ago.
I used to find, because people would just like fucking, there'd just be like a scattering of receipts all over the floor. The amount of money people had in their current accounts was wild, because I had nothing better to do than to lift them up. Because obviously you had to lift them up every now and again, because it's fucking litter. And you sort of look at it casually. Like, it was, I remember seeing a guy and he had like 7.5 G's in his bank account. Is that normal? Because it's not normal for me.
No, not for me.
This was in 2002, right? And he didn't look like the sort of guy that, you know, would just have that money kicking about. And I was like, fucking hell.
I think the most I've ever had in my account was right. And then I just immediately handed over for a deposit for a house. So I was like, oh my God, I've got money. Here you go.
No,
fuck,
this,
now I have nothing again.
This guy took out 100 quid and just went straight to the bar and bought, like, I don't know, whatever.
Sambuca for everybody.
Yeah, Sambuca for everybody. Or maybe a chalk pop for everybody, which would have been the style at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
However, this has nothing to do with my positivity, because my shows were good fun. Now, they weren't comedy. This is even before I was doing comedy. I've been a comedian for like 12, 13 years now.
This is whenever you were a rock star.
Weekend rock star.
Yeah.
Or as it's better known, the drummer. So I had to learn to do fucking everything. So I learned, I was booking shows, and then because to save money, I learned how to be a fucking sound engineer, which still runs to this day where I'm setting up PAs and all that sort of stuff. So not a bad skill to have, which is good. And that's another thing I bring to the company.
Do you think there's actually a company?
No, exactly. There's no company.
There's no company.
It's me and you. We've only recently decided to move from Facebook Messenger to WhatsApp. That's how professional we are.
I didn't know what to do there. It had been historically how we communicated. And I was like, even I've moved on here. But my point was... I didn't find you too positive. The people of Newry at that time were not impressed by genuineness.
By generally wanting to make it better?
Yeah. Yeah, because they had everything. They had the world at their feet, Darren.
Okay.
It's 2004, 5, 6. They had the world at
their feet. No, right through all those years.
Yeah. They didn't need additional fun. They were like, we have enough fun here in our pockets and up our noses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop trying to make us have more fun. We're too busy.
Yeah. That's shite. You know.
There was a lot of that shite, and it was actually that's great. But I was like, there's nothing worse than somebody telling you something shite. And I'm like, have you ever been or seen this or done anything like this? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
So anybody who kind of decries anything in a smaller town, right? We do have a real hangover here in Newry as well, where we've always talked about this. Belfast, 40 minutes up the road. Dublin's an hour south. We will absolutely leave Newry and go to everything. We bring something to the town and people are wildly suspicious.
Shite.
Wildly suspicious
Shite.
Of it. But here in Newry itself, we have loads of people that are fucking brilliant musicians, artists. We've got comedians now, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
So all that stuff you can get everywhere else, we're like, well, let's keep it concentrated. Let's go local. And people are just like,
Shite.
I don't know what you're up to.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I went to Belfast the other night and spent £200 in a hotel room and fucking, you know, £100 on a feed out and to go
£300 on gear.
Yeah, to go to the Odyssey to see
somebody who did the panic station.
Called Was it Kieran Bartlett or Mickey Bartlett? Did he have a guitar? Yeah, Kieran Bartlett. Ah, fuck, he's brilliant, boy. Yeah, I know. He's here next week.
And he was here
and they go,
6 months ago.
Is he? You're like, yes, he is.
So when you were doing the hatch, would people not actually believe you that this is who he had?
The mysticism. The mysticism, right? I'll tell you exactly how it went. It went like this. Here your wee comedy nights are going well. They're doing well, aren't they? Right? They don't actually ask you a question. They just say, they're doing well. You're doing well. You're like, am I? Right.
Still here serving you fucking coffee.
Yeah. Your comedy nights are going great. And I'm like, yeah, they're really good. Yeah. And is it just you that does them? And I was like, yes, it's just me. I have elected to just put myself on the stage for 2 hours on the last Saturday of every month and sell tickets. That's how fucking big my head is. And then, you know, that, I obviously internalise that. And I'd say, no. We get boys from Belfast. And they're like, oh, do you? Right. I be watching them. I watch them podcasts. Do you ever see that boy, what do you call him? Oh, what do you call him? Shane. And you're like, Shane Todd. Yeah, Shane Todd. Oh, so funny. And I'm like, yeah, but Shane's played here a couple of times. Has he? Right?
That's the least impressive thing you've said, that he's been here.
It's almost, I'd rather have the turn around and said, no, he hasn't. Why are you lying? Why are you lying, Leanne? No, he hasn't.
I love the idea that you're trying to convince people that we have actual, the biggest comedians in the country used to play our little 50-seater venue, much the same way that the Relic once tried to convince people that Pharrell Williams was coming.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. This is a very localised story. If you're not from Newry, enjoy this.
They were fronting.
They were fronting. Very much fronting.
Fuck up.
An out of this world idea all the way from Neptune.
Do you think that Pharrell is a sex pest?
What has that got to do with the story about him trying to play the rack?
Because Puff, the rack and Puff Daddy's at it.
Okay. This isn't where I thought episode one of this podcast was going to go, but let's do it. Let's party.
We digress. It's topical.
All you do is fucking digress.
No, but the rack, they do the rack and Puff Daddy's at it.
Aye. Blah, blah, blah. Epstein Island.
Aye. I'd be very disappointed if Usher was involved in this. I had this conversation last night with Aaron Callan, name drop. I would be disappointed. I think Usher's a right fella. But you see, if he's been furthering with Justin Bieber, I'd be really disappointed in that.
Now, we don't have a legal team. What constitutes libelous on a podcast? Allegedly. Say allegedly after every sentence.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So Usher, allegedly.
No, but no, he hasn't. But I'm just saying, Usher and Bieber knocked about.
This is how rumours get started, McCoy.
No, but sure, was Bieber not his protege?
Someone hears the wrong thing, man, and they're just like, well, when I heard that, McCoy was saying on that fucking podcast. Yeah. Yeah. Says Usher's fouting with Bieber.
There's somebody, you know, in a deposition over in not there America saying, now listen, guys, I fucking heard it. I heard it on a podcast.
It's a good Tom State impression.
These two Irish guys were talking. There's a fat guy and a guy with a beard.
Two Irish guys.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. I just love the idea of you telling people about the podcast of like the comedy club being like, no, it's not just me. I have a wee positive mate from fucking Bessbrook. He's too fucking happy. I'm trying to break him.
You see, whenever you said positive there, I'd maybe we need to cut. I want to say HIV positive, but you're not. Despite the epic heroin use in Bessbrook.
I don't live in the brick anymore. Anyway, yeah. So that's not too bad.
That's middle class. Your idea is above your station.
Have you seen Rifle Club?
No, I actually haven't.
We got an Israel flag there.
Class.
Actually, I think I brought it with me. Did I tell you about the letter I got from Stormont?
No, but I will also tell you about me being anti-Semitically harassed in a bar in Uri.
Really?
How was I?
Didn't know you were Jewish.
Neither did I. Until a wee lad says to me, here. Right, and this is actually how he said it. He says, here. He says, he's looking to know if you're a Jew. Right, this happened, right? And I was like, a Jew? And he was like, aye. And I was like, have you ever seen a ginger Jew before? And he was like, eh. And he actually went, have you ever seen a ginger Jew before? And it went on like that. He says, you kind of look Jewish. And I was like, I don't look Jewish, right? And I was like, not that I would have any problem with
it. How do you look Jewish?
I have no idea, right? Right. And then what brought the house down was I was playing pool, right? I was playing pool in this bar. And obviously, as is a lesbian's want. And I got bait. And as a wee joke, I had to like connect it all up. Your man come over and shook hands with me. Fair play to you. I says, mazel tov, right? The fucking place descended into eruptions of laughter, right? And the wee lad was like, hey, fucking you, you're a Jew. Yeah, shalom's all around.
So when we say making Uri great again.
Yeah. And then he actually came down. He obviously Googled Jews or Jewish, you know, customs or whatever.
The Jewish faith.
Right. And he came down Google. To me, right, and he was scrolling through, obviously, Wikipedia. And he goes, do you have a dreidel? And I was like, I do, aye. Right? And then he goes, he said the line that I'll never forget. Do you love the Star of David, do you? I was like, I do. I've got a tattoo in me. It was a very strange night.
Is this a bar that still exists?
Oh, aye. Oh. This was like a fortnight ago. And do you see if...
I thought we were still talking about 2006.
No. Do you see if I walk into that bar, the next time I walk into it, do you see if some of the regulars doesn't call me Mazel Tov McCooey? I'll be fucked off.
You trying to make it up your own nickname?
Because that's a cool nickname.
That's what you're going for.
Shalom.
Probably more Molotov Cocktail McCooey, so...
Fair enough.
Destructive powers and all. No, I'm trying to... I got a letter the other day into my middle class area that you think I live in.
Yes.
You never come see me in Belfast. You have no idea where the fuck I live. I got a letter and it came in an envelope from the Stormont Assembly.
The fact you've said envelope instead of envelope confirms my middle class barb towards you. Continue.
I was going to say my different way of speaking is because I have lived abroad and nobody knows what the fuck I'm saying. So I had to soften up say things differently. So my envelope arrived. That's halfway between both. And from the Stormont Assembly. And when I opened it, the first thing I saw was the giant red DUP logo and a picture of Edwin Poots and Sarah Bunting, who are two MLAs. And it was explaining to us that the little cul-de-sac I live in, one of the houses had been bought and renovated, and it was now trying to change its status from a domicile to a holiday property. So somebody's bought the fucker and made it an Airbnb.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, that would have been so much more straightforward to say. But anyway,
This is all in the letter. This is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this.
Oh, no, I'm not chastising you. I'm chastising Edwin.
Yes, absolutely. So this whole thing, and it was just like, however, if you would like to complain about this to Belfast City Council, here's how you do it. So somebody in the constituency has give off about this. And I was thinking, I was like, that's been like that for months. Why has that only got this letter has arrived now that somebody's complaining about this? And then I realised I live in quite a loyalist area, and the other day there was a Southern Reg parked outside that house. So they were like, DUP's all over it, man.
Holy shit.
So yeah.
But why was there a photograph of the two of them?
It's on the top of the letter, it's the letterhead. And then their wee stamp. Yeah. I have the letter somewhere.
A high-resolution photograph.
Yes, absolutely.
And of the two of them standing side by side, or is it two thumbnails or what? Oh, There's it there.
Top of letter. That's it. I opened the fucking thing and that was the first thing I saw and I was like, oh no, they know I live here.
Oh, that is terrible.
Yeah. He's been to my door canvas and I was like, all right, lad. How's
Edwin
it going?
Has.
Yeah.
Is he a tall man?
He's very tall. I'm in his area, so yeah.
He's terrifying. Got a bizarre head, hasn't he?
So we say more things the lawyers can get.
What?
He always reminds me of the guy. The Simpsons
in my
episode,
opinion.
In my opinion, nice one. Allegedly. Allegedly, in your opinion.
I'd say he's a right fella.
Whatever. I met him for 4 seconds.
What would his drink be, do you think?
What would his drink be?
Yeah.
The blood of Catholics.
Oh, right. But I'm the problem, Darren.
You said I was being too nice. Trying to fucking join in here.
I didn't want you to be sectarian. There's a happy medium.
But I'm really good at it.
I'd say he'd be a strong pint of harp.
Maybe a bass, man.
Fair point. Can you still get bass on draft?
In England, yes. I'm sure limited places here. It's from England. It's not from here.
I used to love porn bass, actually. It's a creamier Smithwick's, like, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a much more pleasant looking Smithwick's.
Well, then now we have Kilkenny, which is usually made for export, two-part pour, but it's a halfway house between Smithwick's and Guinness.
Gay.
There you go. That's us, folks.
Yeah. And that's all for now. There you go.
So
that's
yeah, there you go. So that's I got a letter to the house in my house in Belfast from the DUP, and thankfully it was nothing to do with me living there, so it was all right.
How long have we been chatting here?
Oh, we're gonna knock it up now. About it's 40, I think. Yeah, 40. So
right, okay.
we're gonna move over to our currently non-existent. What's the word you say?
What are you talking about?
Patreon.
You dropped the P bomb. Mm-hmm. Panics the Panic Station Podcast Pilot Patreon.
Yes. So this has been episode one. We're going to do is we're going to swap over because you have asked the good people of Newry questions. Or no, you've asked them for questions.
I have.
So we're going to jump over to this. So this will be the end of the first episode.
If
go
you,
sign up.
If you fully believe that within less than an hour, there's been a deluge of questions on my Instagram, which is now 15,000 followers. Thanks, guys. You're probably wrong. People have lives, Darren.
That's okay. We can say more libelous things because then people will have to pay to hear us.
You dropped the blood of Catholic. That was ridiculous. Ridiculous behaviour. Somebody sent me a reel.
You want to hear my fucking set for Lamar?
Really? Are you going full on?
I'll probably talk about the letter, but we'll see how we get on.
We'll probably talk about the letter.
I'll be right.
You love it.
No, so we have, yeah, so I think the idea of that was because it seems to be what all the cool kids are doing. With the podcast, if we're going to do that, you'll be getting your free episode and then...
Yeah.
We will bleed you dry. But, yes. For Edmund Poots.
yes. no, I don't think anybody has replied to this.
In an hour?
Okay. Just two. Just that really, like, dramatic one from Soupy. And a girl has sent Gemma Garrett over and over again. Which is something I could definitely get on board with.
All right, let's get a cup of tea and figure out what the fuck is getting on. It's okay. Right. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, we will swap over. Go sign up. I'll put links and everything. And yeah, episode one has been weirder than I thought it was going to be. Well done, McCooey.
Here we are.
All right. See you soon.